Hallelujah. We are hearing that word. We are saying that word. We are singing that word. And it is a word that is part of a lot of songs that celebrate the resurrection. This morning I asked Eric Graff and my wife Del Rey, just off the top of your head, I know this is just a gut estimate, but off the top of your head, how many songs that celebrate the resurrection do you think use the word hallelujah or hallelujah, which is the same? And they estimated between 50 and 75%. And today, throughout the world, wherever those hymns are used, no matter what language is being used, the word hallelujah will be part of that song, that hymn. Scholar O. Palmer Robertson has written, quote, "How do you say the Hebrew phrase hallelujah in Greek, in Spanish, in German, in French, in Swahili, in Chikwa, in Luganda? It's all the same in all these languages with minor differences in spelling. No translation is necessary. It has achieved spontaneous universality. Today we're going to learn the history of that word so we can say the word and sing the word with greater understanding to the glory of our risen Lord. In anticipation and delight of doing so forevermore." Our text this morning is a psalm we have been hearing throughout this service, Psalm 146. And for the sake of any who are visiting, I want to explain that we're focusing on this psalm today as part of a series on the psalms that we are nearing the end of. We decided to stay in this series this morning because Psalm 146 is perfect for celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 146, and if you're able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We've heard parts of it throughout our service. Now let's listen to the whole psalm, how it flows. Psalm 146, we stand in honor of God. We recognize that this is His holy word to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes and a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourner. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, thank you for your holy, inspired word that proclaims to us what Christ, your Son, our Savior, has done, that we might live, that we might enjoy you, that we might glorify you now and forever. Help us to deeply understand this psalm that we have read now, and may it fill us with even more joy this morning as we continue to worship you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. This psalm is a call to hallelujah. That is the Hebrew exclamation that opens this psalm and also closes the psalm. I'm showing you that on the screen. So if you were reading this psalm in the Hebrew language, you would begin by saying hallelujah. And you would end saying hallelujah. That's the call of the psalm. And that's what I'm naming my first point this morning, the call to hallelujah. And I want you to know that I'm very excited to explain this to you. What we're going to learn emphasizes that the Bible is God's holy, inspired word, and that the whole Bible points to our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus. If you've been here for this series on the Psalms, you might already know the meaning of the call to hallelujah, but we're going to dig deeper into that meaning this morning. The call is a Hebrew exclamation that means praise Yah. That is the most literal translation of the Hebrew, praise Yah. And Yah is a shortened form of Yahweh. Verse 1 of our psalm reveals that. I'm going to show you verse 1 of Psalm 146 from the Legacy Standard Bible because it uses the Hebrew terms Yah and Yahweh. Here's verse 1. Praise Yah. Praise Yahweh, O my soul. Those two lines are poetically making the same exclamation. The Yah is a shortened form of Yahweh. Now, Yahweh is the most personal name of God. It is the name God gave to Moses at the burning bush. You might remember that event. The Lord spoke to Moses from a burning bush, telling Moses to go to Egypt to free his people, the Israelites. Moses then asked the Lord, "Well, what am I supposed to say when the people ask me, 'Who sent you?'" And God replied, "Tell them, 'I am sent you.'" The name Yahweh is built out of the Hebrew for I am. God himself built his name out of the Hebrew for I am. To show you that, I'm going to read to you Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And again, I'm going to read this from the Legacy Standard Bible because, as I said, it uses the name Yahweh where it occurs in the text. Quote, "And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.'" And I'll just pause there and tell you the word translated I am is the root word of Yahweh. So God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And God furthermore said to Moses, "Thus shall you say to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name from generation to generation." God took the Hebrew, which means I am, and he made it into his name, Yahweh. And this event is when he made known that name. Now, the shortened form of Yahweh is very rarely used in the Bible. It's used only 50 times. And I want to show you the passage in which we first hear the shortened form. Its first use is in Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. The chapter records what Moses and the Israelites sang after being rescued from Egypt at the Red Sea. Again, I'm going to read from the Legacy Standard Bible. "Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to Yahweh and said, 'I will sing to Yahweh, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. Yah is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will extol him.'" Moses poetically uses a shortened name, Yah, when singing praise to God for salvation. It's very easy to vocalize, isn't it? And Moses was the first to use that shortened form. He did so after the major event of the Exodus. The exclamation, hallelujah, is not used in this Exodus passage, but we do hear Moses singing with thanksgiving to Yah for salvation from Egypt. And Psalm 146, his shortened name Yah, is used with the Hebrew word hallelujah, which means praise. Hence, hallelujah is a simple poetic way of saying praise Yahweh. That's the meaning of the call. It's a simple, poetic, easy to say, easy to vocalize way of giving praise to Yahweh. With that understood, I want to point out the other occurrences of the call to hallelujah. That's my next sub-point. The other occurrences of the call to hallelujah. Listen to this. This specific exclamation is used in only two books of the Bible. You already know what one of the books is, namely the Psalms. So what do you think is the second book? Where else do you think we find the poetic statement, hallelujah? I'm going to give you just a moment to think about that. What do you think? You ready for the answer? Here it is, the book of Revelation. It occurs only in the Psalms and Revelation, and it occurs near the end of the book of Revelation. So at the end of the Psalter, we hear the exclamation, hallelujah. And at the end of the Bible, we hear the exclamation, hallelujah. Those are the only two books of the Bible where you will find the word hallelujah combined with the word Yah to say praise Yahweh. Now, when you look at exactly where the exclamation hallelujah appears in the Psalms, it is extremely interesting. That's what I'm going to show you next, its use in the Psalms. And I want you to know that I learned what I'm going to show you from old Palmer Robertson's book, The Flow of the Psalms. I've mentioned that book a few times in this series on the Psalms. The whole book is excellent, but what he explains about the call to hallelujah is my favorite part of his book. This is just simply extraordinary to see. I hope you enjoy this. The first time the call to hallelujah appears is in a group of psalms, Psalms 104 through 106. Notice what I'm calling the verse rhythm of hallelujah. Hallelujah occurs in the last verse of Psalm 104, the last verse of Psalm 105, and the first and last verse of Psalm 106. I'm going to highlight that verse rhythm in purple. And I also want to point out that these are the last four psalms of book four of the Psalms. So these psalms lead us into the final book of the Psalms. They lead us into the culminating book of the Psalms. Now let's look at what happens in the fifth book of the Psalms. In Psalms 111 through 113, we have the opposite verse rhythm. You see that? Instead of last verse, we now have first verse, and then again first and last verse. So I'm not going to highlight that in purple. That's a different rhythm, isn't it? First verse, instead of last verse. The next group of psalms that exclaim hallelujah are Psalms 115 through 117. And notice we go back to the original verse rhythm. Last verse. And then in Psalm 117, we have the full hallelujah Yahweh at the beginning, and the psalm ends with the shortened hallelujah. Dear friends, look at that verse rhythm. That verse rhythm cannot be happen chance. Last verse, first and last. First verse, first and last. Last verse, first and last. That is purposeful placement of the exclamation, hallelujah. Now, between the second two groupings of Psalms is Psalm 114. Notice the psalm numbers. Psalms 111 through 113 lead up to Psalm 114. Psalms 115 through 117 come after Psalm 114. Psalm 114 does not use the word hallelujah, but listen to this. It declares that God rescued his people from Egypt. That's what the psalm is about. The exodus from Egypt. So pause and think about what we've learned. God gave his name Yahweh to Moses when he sent Moses to rescue his people from Egypt. And then after the amazing climactic rescue at the Red Sea, Moses sang a song of praise to Yah, my salvation. That is when the shortened form of Yah was first used. Moses and all the rescued people sang praise to Yah. And here in the Psalms, we see this rhythm, hallelujah, that emphasizes a psalm about the exodus from Egypt that's right in the middle of that rhythm. Again, I say, this is not happen chance. The Word of God is beautiful. It's inspired by Him. It's His book. Now, if you're wondering, well, what does all this have to do with Jesus? I ask you to think about this with me. What final event led up to the people leaving Egypt? Answer, the first Passover meal, in which God had each Israelite family sacrifice a lamb and had them put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. And I ask you, what shape do you end up with when you put blood on the doorposts of a home? You end up with the shape of a cross. Again, I say what we are seeing and learning is not happen chance, and we have more yet to learn here. Now, Psalm 135 is the next psalm where hallelujah occurs. The psalms before it and after it do not contain hallelujah, so Psalm 135 is different in that way. It's all on its own. It's by itself. And therefore, it should not surprise us that its verse rhythm is different. In Psalm 135, the first verse and the last verse call us to praise Yah, and so does a verse within the psalm. Verse 3. Psalm 135 is the only psalm in which hallelujah occurs three times, one occurrence being within the psalm itself. And if you look at that psalm, guess what you will find? You will find a reference to the Exodus from Egypt, specifically in verse 8. You will find a reference to the Passover. Again, that's not happen chance. Now, out of the whole Old Testament, the only other place in which the exclamation hallelujah occurs are the last five Psalms of the Psalter, Psalms 146 to 150. And note the rhythm. Each psalm begins and ends with hallelujah. So the Psalter ends with this explosion of hallelujahs. It's like the grand finale of a fireworks show. Hallelujahs are going off all over the place. Listen to what old Palmer Robertson writes about this in his book, quote, "The Psalter has shown the way for the universe to praise its creator and redeemer. The Psalms consummate with hallelujah, and all nations and peoples can join in this joyful, spontaneous celebration. Even the ease with which the expression can be articulated deserves notice. In a remarkable way, the word hallelujah is particularly suitable for opening wide the mouth, dropping the jaw, and loudly shouting God's praise. Hallelujah!" That's a great statement about the call to hallelujah. Today, Christians all over the world will say hallelujah and praise to the resurrected Christ. For God has given us an easy, simple way to exclaim His praise. He's made it universal. With all of that understood, I'm calling my next overall point the reasons to hallelujah. The reasons to hallelujah. Psalm 146 gives us great reasons to do so, and the reasons clearly connect to what we're celebrating today. Reason number one, Yahweh lives and gives life. Yahweh lives and gives life. Listen to verses 3 and 4. "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Those verses are easy to understand, and they're very provable. Think about it. Every human prince who's merely human has died or will die, and they don't conquer the grave. Their bodies remain dead. They may have accomplished great things for their people. They may have had great plans for their people. They may have been building a great kingdom for their people. But every human prince has died or will die without conquering the grave. And when they die, their plans come to an end. So if you put your hope in them, your hope is short-lived. A merely human prince who dies and whose body stays dead cannot give you eternal salvation. So our psalm says, don't put your trust in merely a human prince. In the U.S., we can say it this way, don't put your trust in the government. Don't put your trust in a president. Don't put your trust in any man who might run for president, any woman who might run for president. All leaders who are merely human die and their bodies stay dead. They cannot give you eternal life. But Yahweh can. Yahweh lives and gives life. Listen to verses 5 and 6. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, and in the Hebrew, that's the word Yahweh. Blessed is he whose hope is in Yahweh, his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. Those verses are calling us to put our hope in Yahweh, who created life and sustains life. Put your trust and hope in the one who truly provides what is needed to live, not only for a moment, but forever. Yahweh lives and gives life. That's reason number one. We should praise Yah. And reason number two is this. Yahweh offers life to all people. Meaning you don't have to be powerful or wealthy or healthy to be noticed and loved by Yahweh. Yahweh offers life to all types of people, including people the world often ignores. Listen to verses 7 through 9. They tell us that Yahweh executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. Again, that's Yahweh. Yahweh sets the prisoners free. The Lord Yahweh opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord Yahweh lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord Yahweh loves the righteous. The Lord Yahweh watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. Those verses are full of kindness and compassion and hope for all people. If you are oppressed in this world, Yahweh offers you life. He offers to lift you up out of the oppression so you can live abundantly. If you are poor and hungry, he offers to provide for you so you can live now and forever. If you're in prison, whether for political reasons or for crime, he offers to set you free to live free forever. If you have a physical problem like blindness, he offers to heal you so you can see forevermore. If you are humble and lowly in this world, he offers to lift you up and give you life. If you don't have a home or you don't even have a country, if you're a sojourner, he offers you life in his kingdom. If you don't have a family, a spouse, or parents, he offers to be your father in heaven. He offers you the family of God forever and ever. If you want true equality, look to Yahweh. Don't look to your government to bring about equality. Look to Yahweh who created you. He offers life to all people because we're all made in his image. There's one race. It's after him. Look to him. This is a second reason to praise Yah. And the third reason is this. He brings an end to all wickedness. That's what we're told in verse 9. Quote, "But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin." He will bring it to an end because wickedness deceives and enslaves and breaks apart relationships and steals and kills. Sadly, there are endless examples of wickedness in our current world and how devastating it all is. Wickedness offers pleasure, but only for a very short moment. What wickedness actually gives is pain and death. To have a kingdom of true life and joy, of peace, of fellowship, you can't have any wickedness. And Psalm 146 therefore praises Yahweh because he will bring an end to all wickedness. There will be not one tiny example of wickedness in his eternal kingdom, not the smallest, slightest sin. That's another great reason to praise Yah. Those three reasons together are immense. Now I'm calling my next point the identity of Yahweh. If we're going to rightly use the exclamation, hallelujah, we have to know who Yah is. So let's now take note of what the New Testament reveals about Jesus. There are many passages I could read. I could read you passages till the evening. I'm going to read just four. Here's what we're told at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The next day he refers to John the Baptist here. The next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Listen, Jesus is the true Passover Lamb. He's the true Passover Lamb whose blood covers us, whose blood protects us. That in and of itself shows us Jesus is Yahweh. We hear that at the very beginning of his ministry, "Behold the Lamb of God." And here's what we're told at the end of the ministry of Jesus. This passage is about the empty tomb the women find on resurrection morning, and we read, "But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead.'" Listen, Jesus is not a prince who dies. He is the Son of God who lives. Jesus is Yahweh. And consider what Jesus did while he was ministering on this earth. In Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 16, we read, "And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Why? Because he fulfills it. The passage Jesus read sounds a lot like Psalm 146, doesn't it? And Jesus said, "I fulfill it." He proclaimed the good news to the poor. He set captives free. He gave sight to the blind. He set at liberty those oppressed. He did it all. Jesus is Yahweh. Look at this passage in John chapter 8. This passage starts with Jesus speaking to a crowd of Jewish people. Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Do you know why they picked up stones to kill him? Because he said, "I am." Remember, that is what Yahweh means. They picked up stones to kill him because he said, "Listen, before Abraham existed, I am," meaning I am Yahweh. "I created Abraham. I am." Dear friends, Jesus is unmistakably Yahweh. Jesus is the one we should trust in. Jesus is the one to whom we should say, "Hallelujah." And I want to end today with a vision of people doing so. My last point is called a vision of hallelujah. Earlier, I told you that the only other place in the Bible where we find the exclamation, "Hallelujah," is the book of Revelation. It occurs almost at the end of the book, in chapter 19. It's a vision of a great multitude of people who will say hallelujah to Jesus forever. Let this holy word of God excite your heart. I'm going to read a good chunk of the all the hallelujah sections here, a good chunk of chapter 19. "After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, 'Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants.' Once more they cried out, 'Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever.'" Let me just pause there and say that means no more wickedness. The wickedness is gone. It's defeated. No more wickedness. So we continue to read. "And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, saying, 'Amen, hallelujah.' And from the throne came a voice saying, 'Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great.' Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.' And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" Four times in that chapter, we hear the exclamation, "Hallelujah." And we are hearing it from a multitude of people from every tribe, every language, every generation. That is a vision of what will surely be when Christ comes again. The Psalms end shouting hallelujah. The Bible ends shouting hallelujah, hallelujah to Jesus. And this day we celebrate the resurrection. The Word of God is calling us to do the same. Shout hallelujah to Jesus. The Word of God is saying to us, don't put your trust in a princess who will die and stay dead. Put your trust in Jesus, who died and lives and reigns forever. Put your trust in Him who invites you to be cleansed of your sins. Put your trust in Him who will get rid of all the painful wickedness in the world. Put your trust in Him and live forever and ever with all of His joy and glory. Put your trust in Him and sing and say hallelujah unto His glory forever. That's the call of this great song. Let's pray together. Father God Almighty, hallelujah to You, hallelujah to Your Son, hallelujah to You, our triune God. Hallelujah for all that You've done for us. Hallelujah for all that You've done ever since Adam and Eve throughout all the years of humanity. Hallelujah for Your inspired Word, which shows us what You have done, which points us to the salvation You give us in Jesus. Hallelujah to You who gives us even a word we can use with universality amongst all people and easily praise You. Hallelujah to You. And Father, we pray that You would always work in our hearts and minds. Be graceful and merciful to us. Constantly draw our minds and hearts to You. May our hope always be in You. May people see that our hope is in You. May the world see that our hope is in You. May the world see that we follow You, the true King. You're the King of kings, and we are living for Your kingdom. Hallelujah to You through our lives, through our living now and forever. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.